Megan, you have your Bibles tonight. I want you to notice, if you would, all the children, slip on out in Acts chapter 13. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture tonight, so hope you have your Bible, your thumb ready. All the little ones, slip right on out. All the little ones. That's great. Great host of children. Amen. We're studying this month, especially this year, Children of Light. I want you to notice, my name is David, and I was named, I think, after David in the Bible. And I think really it's the thing that caught my parents' eye was verse 22 of chapter 13, Acts. When he removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. This is Acts 13, 22. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, this is God speaking, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, David fulfilled the will of God in the sense that he started this priestly line, this kingly line. But God had so much more he wanted from David. I want you to see the start. And I want all of us in this room to realize that God's looking for the next David without the ending. And tonight, it's Lord's Supper night. I just want you to see tonight that God wants us to have a heart after him all the days of our lives without the mistakes. Now, you go back through the Bible and you're going to find all kinds of people that had all kinds of opportunity and privilege, but they made a mistake here, they made a mistake there. And that's one of the reasons I want our young people to understand and to be so careful. Because you can mess something up in your life early, and it affects you the rest of your life. And you can be a young married couple and mess something up, and it can affect you the rest of your life. And your children can be just leaving the nest, and you can do something and mess up things for the rest of your life. And I just want you to see that David, in the beginning, God looked at him and said, there's a man after my own heart. David was passionate about the Lord. If you have your Bible, flip back over with me. I want you to see some wonderful traits of David. 1 Samuel 16, if you would. 1 Samuel 16, notice with me if you would. Saul is having trouble spiritually, and somebody in his entourage said, I know somebody that can play a harp and can really settle your heart. And verse 17, Saul said unto his servants, this is 1 Samuel 16, 17, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. I need some beautiful music, some music that'll settle my spirit. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And he meets exactly what you're saying. He's cunning with the harp. He is talented with the harp. He can play the harp beautifully, O king. And he's a mighty valiant man. Do you know how old he is? He's 16, apparently. Teenage boy. But he said he's a valiant man. He's brave. He's mighty. Now, I don't think he's 6'5" and 250 pounds. He's a Jewish boy. But it's in here. So you can see what is in his heart. Now, notice this. He says, and a man of war. He's a teenager. But he got that because he defended the sheep with such tenacity against all comers. The lion and the bear, and had gotten out. Notice with me if you would. And prudent in matters. And he's wise. He's not a typical teenager that makes all these decisions and mistakes. He's very wise in all the matters of his life. And notice this, and a comely person. He's nice looking. He takes care of himself. But then notice this, and the Lord is with him. Wow. What a start. What a start. And then you'll notice that these characteristics are there that you would look at David and you would say, wow, this kid's got a bright future. And he does. And he did. He had this light that's shining brightly. And everybody can see it. He can play. He's musical. He's brave. He's fearless. And you remember whenever all the Israelites, the entire nation, ran to their tents and shut their flaps. And then all of a sudden, this teenage boy walks in and says, why didn't somebody go cut the head off of that loudmouth down there, that Goliath guy? And it didn't matter that he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. Why didn't somebody go shut him up? Don't let him do this to our God. And David said, if nobody else will go, I'll go. And all of his brothers made fun of him and put him down. And then pretty soon he's brought up to the king. And so the king says, who are you? And they bring him to me. And so they bring in this stripling young boy, this kind of a teenage young boy. But he can tell there's something different about him. He's fearless. And he's not fearless because he's brave. He's fearless because he's got this confidence that God can use him to do anything. The Lord is with him. And it's real. And I want that for y'all in this room. I want it to be at work. They look at you and say, the Lord is with him. I want your wife to say, the Lord is with my husband. And vice versa. And that's not common. But it could be. And David, as you know the story, he puts on the armor. He tries to be the typical soldier, and he's not the typical soldier because the typical soldier doesn't have the power from heaven. He has the power from his strength. And Goliath wasn't going to be beaten with physical strength. He was going to be beaten with spiritual strength. And so David goes down, and I could just imagine as I see Goliath, what are you sending this kid to me? And then you could look at David, and David said, you're going down today. That's the Hebrew definition in there. And he's got this slingshot, and everything David did, he practiced. The harp, he was beautiful with it. His slingshot, he was deadly with it. And you find in Psalm 23, he speaks about the rod and the staff. They comfort me. I'm protected because that rod, those teenage boys would learn to throw that rod, a stick about this long, about this big around, and it was a deadly weapon, and they could kill a wolf with it. They would learn how to throw that thing with such accuracy. And so he had this slingshot, and he learned how to use it with deadly accuracy. Only it was more powerful than the rod, but very few people could learn how to use them as well as David did. But I can imagine with watching his sheep that he practiced that all the time. There's no shortage of rocks in Jerusalem and Judea and the surrounding areas. And there's no shortage of objects. There's no issue where he's got a shortage of time. So he picks it up and he's practicing. He's preparing. He doesn't know for what. But he's just trying to get better and better at his craft so he can predict those sheep. He's doing what he could at the time to be the best that he can. Tonight, I want you to see then that he takes that slingshot. You know the story. He walks down and puts it right here. And apparently there's this bar across the forehead, and that's about all that's open, and he puts it right there. Now, he doesn't put it there. The Lord does. But that rock hits him and goes into his forehead, and he falls down, and apparently it knocks him out. And we don't know if Goliath could have survived that shot with a slingshot, but we know this, David got up and cut his head off to make sure. And now this is a teenage boy, and he brings the head of Goliath into the camp, and everybody's going crazy. David is not, he's just doing his job. We need some Christians that are so different. They're so full of God's Spirit that they're just doing their job as they're slaying Goliaths. A Goliath is language, poor language. We just slay Goliath and walk into a room of people that don't know how to defeat the Goliath, and we do. We have a pleasantness about us like David was, a comeliness about us that we just touch the heart of people. And the Bible says that everywhere David went, he behaved himself wisely. He's a teenage boy. And so as you go looking at the wonderful personal traits of David, he was greatly loyal. He was a young man of great character. If you have your Bible, turn if you would to 1 Samuel 24. And I want you to ask yourself this question, would we have done this? So he and his men are fleeing from Saul, and Saul is chasing him down, and Saul is trying to kill him. But David has this great respect for the Lord's leaders. And notice with me, if you would, in 1 Samuel 24, look with me, if you would, in verse number 4. The men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do unto him as it seemeth good to thee. It's today, David. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. Why did David's heart cause him conviction? Because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Well, look over in verse number 10, the last phrase. For it is the Lord's anointed. He had such a loyalty to Saul. He didn't understand why Saul was trying to kill him, because he had done nothing wrong. He had won the victory for Goliath. Saul had gotten jealous of David's inner strength, of his walk with the Lord. And Saul didn't have a walk with the Lord. And he got so jealous of David because David just had this pleasant walk with God. The Lord was with him. David could do anything at 16 and 17 years old. There was nothing in this world that God could not use David to do. He was a man after God's own heart, and everything was right between him and the Lord, and it didn't matter. Saul couldn't kill him because he was protected by the Lord. And yet, notice, if you would, in verse number 10, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. So you know the story. Saul and his men go into a cave, and they lay down and sleep. And David is inside the cave with his men. They're right there. And Saul lays down right before him and goes to sleep. And David's got a knife and a sword, and he could kill his enemy real easy. But he can't, because he said, that's the Lord's leader. No one else on earth would have that conviction. But there's a loyalty in David's heart to Saul, and he let him get up and walk away. I wonder what those hours of sleep for Saul was like with David holding back his men. He's not a man of 40 years old or 30 years old. He's just out of his teenage years, and he's got rough, tough men. Those men in that cave were thieves and robbers, and David says no, and they listened. Why? Because the Lord was with him, and they knew it. And it's something they didn't have. And I want that for everybody in this room. And you can't have it by just making money. And you can't have it by just saying, I'm going to get it. It takes something special in your heart toward the Lord. And every lady in this room, do you have that heart? Called a perfect heart. We're going to look at it in just a minute. David had it up until this point in time. So notice the word, and some bade me, this is verse 10, some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. There's such a loyalty and a respect for him. I will not touch you, even though you're here to kill me. You're laying to rest up to kill me, but I won't touch you. At work, there's people that maybe say something about you, but I'm not going to hurt you. Maybe there's somebody is gossiping about you, or somebody is saying something about you, or maybe you're a teenager and there's somebody is trying to get back at you, and you're like David. You say, I won't do that. They're wrong, but I'm not going to be wrong with them. David is everything in the world that I'd like to be at this point in time. except on the run for my life. And then David becomes king. And David should have known that when I am made king, because remember, Samuel had already anointed him to be king. So David knew it was going to happen. And David has prepared his heart, but something happened in David's heart. He let something slip just a little bit. I don't know if he missed some mornings getting up and spending time with the Lord. I'm sure that happened. When he's at battle, when he's in war, something happened. But David's heart changed a little bit. Now, there's an old adage, absolute power corrupts absolutely. David was an absolute king. Anything David said, it went. And David was king over Israel. And everybody loved him and everybody respected him. And David could have said, that man over there is a liar. And he would have been a liar and put to death just like that. David had absolute power. And so that night, whenever everybody went off to battle, and David, if you have your Bible, you'll notice you can flip over to 2 Samuel, if you would. 2 Samuel. Look with me, if you would, chapter 11 and 12. We'll look at chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass after a year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, and David was not in the place he should have been. He should have been with his men, and he didn't go. And so, folks, you have to be careful to step out of the Lord's will. And no one can tell you that. No one can say you're out of the Lord's will. No one could tell David that. If he wanted to go to battle, he could. If he wanted to stay home, he could. He was an absolute king. But remember this, men, as a leader of your house, you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't make what you want right. And teenagers, you may be able to do whatever you want. Your parents don't know about certain things, but it doesn't make it right. And you're at work and you're a boss, you're over other people, you can do whatever you want because you're the boss, it doesn't make it right. Something happened in David's heart and he looked down and he says, you know, I can do anything I want to do. And he stood up on that rooftop and he says, I'm the king of Israel, I can do anything I want to do. And pride began to creep over. Pride come before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. And David didn't see it. Here's a man after God's own heart that has been filled with God's Spirit his whole life practically. And he's built his life to serve the Lord and be a king. And God says, I've got plans for you, big plans. And all of a sudden, he looks out and he sees Bathsheba and he says, oh, I'd like to have her. I'm king. I can have any woman that I want. And what David didn't understand is he was building a gene in his life, a trait in his life that would be passed down. Because he refused to say, no, I'm not doing that. This is a young man could say no to anything, but not to himself. David had the power to whip kings, giants, but not himself, not his flesh. And I'm pleading with you tonight to lay your flesh on the altar. It'll put out your light. If you do everything right, you'll never get away from self. If you do everything right, if you live the perfect teenage life and the perfect teenage years, you'll never get away from the flesh. You have to whip the flesh every day by the power of the Lord. And the day you slip up is the day you'll see Bathsheba. And what you do next makes all the difference. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2 of 2 Samuel 11, came to pass in evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. He's done nothing wrong, but he's in the wrong place. And when you're in the wrong place, you have the opportunity to do wrong easily. That's what happened. Now here's the greatest king Israel's ever known. Here's the cleanest king Israel's ever had. or could ever have. Here's the mightiest king, the king that is fearless because of his love for the Lord and his trust in God, that God can do anything through him, and the Lord is with him. And he sees a woman, and he begins to go down. The Bible says in Proverbs, many strong men have been slain by her. Maybe it's not a woman, it's a woman on the internet. Maybe it's not a woman, it's a man, and you're a lady, and it's some man at work. It's thoughts and dreams. It's imaginations. Genesis 5, Genesis 6 said the imaginations of man's heart, was only evil continually. And God said, I'm done with them. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Here's a young man that has every possible opportunity in life, but one thing he does. He falls to his flesh. And I want you to just notice very quickly, because I want to get to the last part of the message. I want you to notice this. Verse 3, verse 2, and he saw a woman, step 1 of sin. When you see something, turn your eyes away. If it's a car, if it's a job, if it's a woman or a man, if it's a friend, if you see something that doesn't look right, turn your eyes away. Number 2, look at verse 3. And David sent and inquired. He asked the question, I wonder if she's available. Now, he's in the wrong place, the wrong time. And no one could say he did anything wrong. He's looking at a woman that no one can say you shouldn't look, because he's not doing anything wrong. But you'll notice, if you would, and she was very beautiful to look upon. Nothing wrong with looking upon a beautiful woman. It's the thoughts after that sight. David could whip Goliath, but he couldn't whip the flesh. He could defeat armies, but he couldn't defeat inside. And I would suggest to you today that God is losing many good soldiers because we can't defeat the inside, the flesh. And our lights are going out left and right. Teenagers are arguing with their parents. It's not right to argue with your parents. It's not right to debate with them. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It's not all right to argue with your teachers. It's not right to argue with anybody as a teenager, with your bosses. It's not right for us to argue with our bosses. You know, he said in Ephesians, he said, look, if you've got an untoward boss that treats you terrible, you treat him good. You pray for him. Where are those kind of Christians where the light shines when we're being mistreated? David could do it. Saul's hunting him. He's sitting on the side. Don't touch him. He's the Lord's anointed. Oh, there's a beautiful woman. You know the story. He takes her. She ends up having a child. And there's one thing about David that God loved about him. Notice this. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel 12. Now, Nathan is talking to David. Nathan puts his life on the line because he's going to do what God says. So he looks at the absolute ruler and said, you've done wrong, King David. No one, David had never heard that before in his whole life. You've done wrong, King David. Never heard that. Number one, no one had the courage to tell him that. Number two, it never happened before. He'd always done the right thing. Well, notice if you would in verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You see, you've despised the commandment of the Lord. And notice with me, if you would, in verse number 9, he says, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. David didn't even kill Uriah. He just set it up so that he would, and God said, yes, you did it. You're a murderer, and you're an adulteress. And notice what he says in verse number 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. Wow, what an awful punishment. But then notice what happens, if you would, in verse number 11. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Anybody know the name of that evil? Absalom, his own son. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. That's exactly what he did. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. One of the most heinous things a king could do, and he couldn't do anything about it. He said, because you did this with one man's wife. And he said, you could control everything in this world. You could defeat everything in this world, but your own flesh. David, the sword will never depart from your house. And now I'm going to give your wives to someone else to make a mockery of. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 12, for thou did it secretly. Folks, anything we do privately and secretly, it's wrong. The deeds of men are evil, therefore they love darkness. Let's just not do things secretly, because our flesh does things secretly. The battle is not won in private and secret. Notice, if you would, he says this, and I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. I'm going to show people what you did privately. The whole world will know it. Oh, but Lord, do you have to do that? That's part of the punishment, David. And notice this. What does David do? God, that's not fair. That's not right. Notice what David does in verse 13. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. You find David always had a broken heart quickly. That's because his love for the Lord was greater than his desire to keep sinning. But it wasn't greater at a great temptation time when the flesh began to attack. Folks, tonight, build up your heart against your own flesh, the greatest evil. It's the greatest lion in the room. Notice, if you would, verse number 14. This is what I want you to see. Howbeit, because thou did this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You put out your light, David. David, you covered up your light with a bushel basket. And folks, every time we sin, let the flesh get a hold of us, we put out our light in front of our wife, in front of our husband, in front of our children, in front of our workers. And it's here. Maybe you could design a rocket that can go to the moon, but this can defeat you. Maybe you could be a part of the military and rise up the ranks and be one of the greatest Navy SEALs ever in the history of the world. But this thing will defeat you. You see, God is looking for somebody that has victory from the inside out. And he had it with David until David became absolute king. We can never forget we are 100% subject to the Lord of Lords in everything. In our attitude, in our heart, in our choices, David forgot that. Don't let your job or your bank account or your intellect cause you to forget, I'm subject to the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, very quickly, I want you to see that one of the saddest things to me is what David gave up. He had this great passion for the Lord, wanted to do anything in the world for the Lord, but just think about this. Now listen very carefully to what it cost him. It cost him the ability to win the nations around him because they'd no longer listened about how great his God was. He said that. You've given a great occasion to the enemies of Israel to laugh and make fun by the one personal act that you did in secret. You and I can do things in secret that puts out our light to where we cannot win our neighbors or our family members, and they'll die and go to hell. David missed the privilege of seeing some of his sons do what was right. Amnon was killed. Absalom was killed. Adonijah was killed. Why? You take it back. David made a secret choice. And it brought forth fruit in his family. David made a choice with one of his wives. You think you can correct me for for rejoicing in the streets about my God and bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, well, I'm going to put you in that house and never touch you again. Another bad decision, personally, in here. And what happens? His own sons turn on him. You know the story. There is rancor and jealousy and innuendo, and there is competition in David's family for the rest of his life. And he can't stop it because he couldn't stop his flesh on a secret night. It cost him more than he was willing to pay, but it was too late. He'd already put out his light with many of his sons. Don't put out your light with your wife, your husband, people at work. Could I plead with you? Don't do that. If you're an older brother or sister, don't put out your light for the younger brothers and sisters. I noticed that David could have had a long reign as king. He died being king. But boy, there was this interrupted time there where civil war happened because David. He didn't forgive Absalom. He didn't forgive his wife. He didn't forgive Absalom. Why? David, why not? Because I'm the king. I don't have to. David, you're a servant of the Lord. You can't forget that. No matter how much money you have in the bank, no matter who you are, no matter what your name, no matter what your degrees, you can't forget that we're subject to the Lord in our private thoughts, in our private wishes. You know, one of the things David wanted to do as much as anything, if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8. I want you to see this. 1 Kings 8. I think this is the correct verse. Notice 1 Kings 8, 17 and 18. Does anybody know what David wanted to do at the end of his life more than he wanted to do anything else in the world? He had this dream he wanted to do. Does anybody know what it was? What was it? Somebody raise your hand. What was it? To build the temple. It became his greatest dream. Why was that? Because he knew he had failed the Lord and he wanted to make up for it. Lord, I just want to build you a temple to show you how much I love you and how sorry I am. I want to build a place where the whole world can see how great and mighty you are. The greatest temple in all the world to the greatest God in the world. And what does God say? No, David. I can't let you build it. Can you imagine the heartache in his heart? Oh, I know. I know. Verse 17, 1 Kings 8. And it was in the heart of David, my father, this is Solomon speaking, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Even Solomon knew it. Everybody knew it. It was David's greatest dream. Whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Verse 19, nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house. But thy son that shall come forth of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name, not you, David. Oh, Lord, please. No, David, everybody knows what you did. I can't have someone so flawed, an adulteress and a murderer, build the holiest place on earth. Sorry, David. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Chronicles 28. Notice with me, if you would, verse 2, then David the king stood up on his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house for the rest of the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God and be ready, made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name." Notice, because thou hast been a man of war. Now we can look at it and said, well, you've been a man of war. But it's the way he went about things. And notice what he would, the last phrase. And hast shed blood. Whose would that be? Uriah. I'm sorry, David. David got up in front of the entire Jewish nation and said, God said no. If you have your Bible, turn back to 1 Kings 8 very quickly. 1 Kings 8. Look with me, if you would, in verse 59 through 61. Let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people. Now, David still cared about reaching the world, but he couldn't. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Yet no one would hear it from David, because he had given cause for the nations to mock God. Verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. What does that mean? To walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at that day. That's a perfect heart. David and Solomon both understood. And if you were to go back to 1 Chronicles 28, I want you to see there and we'll finish tonight. Notice 1 Chronicles 28. Now David's trying to get his son to do something he could not do. Now notice this. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Even thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Who is that? It's my God, David, my God, Solomon. Know thou the God of thy father and serve him, here it is, with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. You see, it was David that wrote Psalm 51. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Psalm 139:23. Lord, I've done this wickedness before you. One of the greatest apologies in the history of the world, Psalm 51. So he looks at his son and said, son, God searches the hearts. There's nothing you can do to hide it from God. Son, keep a perfect heart. Son, please, keep a perfect heart. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Theirs was David's downfall. He could whip giants but not control his thoughts. If thou seek him, he'll be found of thee. Boy, Solomon, as long as I walked with the Lord, he was right there near me. But if thou forsake him, he'll cast thee off. Only it'll be forever, Solomon. As long as you don't seek him, he won't forgive you. He won't seek you. Verse 10, take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. You know, David said, my greatest dream is to build the temple. God said no. David lost children, wives, kingdom, the privilege of building a temple because he couldn't control his imaginations and his thoughts. Here. He didn't maintain a perfect heart. Perfect heart doesn't mean you never sin. It means you stop things here without doing them here. It means you say, Lord, I got to please you. Recognize you're subject to the God of heaven if you're the president of the world. David started out as the greatest king in the history of the world, the greatest opportunities in all the world, the right heart, but he couldn't maintain it when he was given all the power in the world. Do you understand tonight? We live in the greatest country on earth. We're in perhaps the most powerful city on earth. And perhaps we have the most powerful economy on earth in this area. Wealth. And you say, well, Pastor, if you knew my bills, you knew this, that. But the opportunity is there. Keep your heart perfect before the Lord. Solomon said it, Psalm 4, David's son. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Tonight, do you have a perfect heart? Your light can't shine. You're putting it out here, putting it out here, putting it out here. Unless things are right with your family, with people at work. Unless you've done the right thing. Tried to make it right. Unless your thoughts are right. Solomon, God searches the hearts and the imaginations of the thoughts. I know. Solomon, get a perfect heart. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn tonight. We'll not play long. We'll not sing. I'll just ask the pianist to play just as I am if you need to come tonight. Whatever she's going to play, you come. We'll not play long. A verse or two. Have that on the way, Lord. We're going to stand. If you need to come, you come. Lord Jesus, I plead with you to let me and the people of Temple Baptist Church, the young people of Temple Baptist Church, the singles of Temple Baptist Church, the children of Temple Baptist Church, to have a perfect heart before you. Lord, protect us from the great sin, that one from which there's no coming back. In your name we pray.